Good morning. It's lovely to be here today and to join in with that joy, really, of the Lord's Day. It's the Lord's Day, and the Bible says I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I pray that each of us this morning can really receive all that God has for us. Shall we pray as we begin? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the holy and the authoritative Word of God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we will receive and we will drink and take and taste from your precious Word and from your wonderful Holy Spirit this morning. Thank you, Lord, for how good you are. Thank you that you are for us, not against us. Thank you, Lord, that when we trust in Jesus Christ, we are sons and daughters of the living God. And I pray that we would receive your word as children today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the subject for today is disciples making disciples. And as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking of the Matthew passage that we had read for us. So you may want to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, as Rosemary read for us. And this is about whole life discipleship. Not just the kind of discipleship that's to do with Sundays or religious observance, but is to do with every part of our lives with no exceptions. That's the kind of discipleship that Jesus calls us to. And we're going to be thinking about some of these themes over the next few weeks. We'll think, for example, about faith and work. We'll be thinking of faith and home life and how we can share our faith at home, because it, for some of us, the people we're at home with, family, don't share the faith that we have. We'll be looking at that. We'll be looking at our responsibility as global disciples as well, not only to our family and workplace, but also to the nations and to others around us, and loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. But discipleship is a whole life thing, and the reason we're focusing on it is because we're about to move in to a tremendous phase of our church life and season of our church life, where with the Hope Center opening in a month or so, we really want to be those who are disciples making disciples. I'm really glad that ever since I've become part of St. Mary's back in 2009, we've always been on that journey. And I remember when I started here, that I felt a tremendous sense of momentum for disciple making and being disciples, and a real hunger among people to be disciples of Jesus, to be like Jesus, and to be sharing that Jesus message with other people. I've always sensed that. I've always known that about this church. And I've been doing some reading because some of what I want to say at the opening of the Hope Center is about the story of us as a church. And I was reading in the Parish Magazine from 1971 recently, just about all that God was doing then here at St. Mary's. And there was a tremendous sense of wanting to share the good news of Jesus in Loughton and further beyond, back in 71, and I'm sure back much further beyond that. So this is a church that loves to be disciples and make disciples. That's who we are. We've been doing it for decades, but I believe God wants to take us into an even more fruitful place than we've ever been before. We're about to get more resources for that. And for example, we're about to move into some new areas, like, for example, counseling. The Hope Center is going to have a counseling practice in it. And there's going to be other things like the food bank expanding through the Hope Center, or something else that I'm sure you'll hear about soon called Living Hope, which is more community ministry flowing through the Hope Center. But it's not just the Hope Center, whether it's Alpha, Love Loughton, Cafe Hope, conversations we have with our neighbors and our work colleagues, conversations that we have around and about where we are able to demonstrate the love of God and share the love of God with others. I wonder, let me ask you a couple of questions. Here's a question. How did you first get to hear about Jesus? Have a think. When did you first hear? Now, some of you would be thinking, I've always known about Jesus. I've always, from a baby, been brought up to know about Jesus. That won't be true for everyone. But even if you were brought up as a baby through the faith as a child, someone, somewhere, told you for the first time that you took it on board about Jesus. Do you know who that was, or do you remember who that was, or what happened? Yes, some of you do. It's a good thought, isn't it? I love going back to that place. I was one who was brought up as a child in church, so I can't remember, in a sense, the first time someone told me about Jesus, but I can certainly remember the first time it registered with me. And a man called Angus Morrison was responsible for that. He came and did a children's mission where we lived. And that was the first time it really took hold in me about Jesus. And if you can remember back to your first time thinking or hearing about Jesus, that is a precious moment, because that's the moment you started your journey of discipleship. First time you heard. We become disciples, or that we're on a journey of discipleship, even before we make a decision to follow Jesus. It's because it's all a process. It's all part of the journey and the story of God in our lives and what God's doing. And actually, here's an exciting thing. When you were first told about Jesus, and somebody, if it was a parent or a Sunday school teacher or whoever it was who told you about Jesus, it can all be traced back to these moments here in Matthew chapter 4. Because what we read here is that as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, his brother Andrew, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." It all started there. That was the first moment that people were invited to follow Jesus. And in that moment of being invited to follow Jesus, there was the seed that they would invite others to follow Jesus as well. And look, here we are. Here we are, and we are part of the story. It all began in Matthew chapter 4. For you and for me, it began the day that someone, somewhere, told us about Jesus. And we sensed a call on our life to begin a journey of discipleship. It may have taken some of us longer than others. Some of us may have fought against it for a while. But yet we knew, and we started on that road with Jesus. I wonder if I was to ask another question. What is a disciple? What is a disciple? Just have a think to yourself. What is a disciple? We're talking about disciples, making disciples. What do you think a disciple is? I believe a disciple is an apprentice, would be a good word for it. Perhaps a slightly more familiar word to us. To apprentice Jesus. A disciple is someone who's a learner. We're still learning, aren't we? None of us have arrived. Who can say that they've mastered it, the Christian life, or following Jesus? Nobody has mastered that. We're all learning. We have big L plates on. And sometimes when we're learning, what happens when we learn? We make mistakes. We get it wrong sometimes. But anyone who's learning to ride their bike, or learning to drive a car, or learning to cook, or learning a trade, or learning anything, will make a mistake. But the point is about learning from our mistakes and going on and maturing in as we're learning. And isn't that the Christian life, isn't it? To learn from Jesus. There's almost a sense here of being, this isn't a word we use often in church about following Jesus, but a sense of being trained, invested in. Isn't it good when, I don't know if you ever in your working lives had someone who maybe was your line manager or someone in your life who said, "I really want to invest in you." Feel quite special, don't you? You feel like, oh, somebody's seen something in me. They want to deposit something in me that's really worth something. Well, that's how God sees you. God wants to train you and me. And the Apostle Paul uses that language when he speaks about athletics in the Christian life. It's like physical training. We're to see our Christian lives in this light of being trained. Trained as learners. Trained as those who make mistakes, but learn from those mistakes and then move on into maturity. There's nothing worse than continual spiritual infancy. For all of us who've had families, we know that when you have your children and the health visitor comes, and when the health visitor comes, you want to know that my child is making progress. They are growing. And if the child doesn't grow, there's a problem. And children are on the training analogy as well. I mean, my goodness, I spend a lot of my time at mealtimes teaching about knives and forks, teaching about you name it, what we should say and what we shouldn't say at the table, sit down, don't stand up on your chair, all of that. Many of us have been through that, haven't we? I'm still going through it. And that's just Caroline talking to me. No. No. But this is about training in righteousness, training in godliness. It's about growing. And there's a lovely word they use at theological college, this word formation. We're being formed and shaped. This is discipleship. This is what Jesus invited these followers of his onto a journey, and they followed him for 3 years on earth and for the rest of their lives. After the cross, the resurrection, and Pentecost, they never ever stopped learning. They never stopped being trained. Peter, you name it, any one of these disciples never arrived on earth. They were always disciples first. But they were disciples who made disciples. How is a disciple made? That's question number three. Have you ever thought about this? How do you make a disciple? How do you do it? You don't bring it out of a factory, manufacture a disciple. Making disciples. This is the process of becoming more like the teacher. More like, if we're disciples, who's the teacher? It's Jesus. And the process of being made a disciple is the process, the lifelong process of becoming more and more from ever increasing glory to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal. And so let's look here in Matthew chapter 4, because in Matthew 4:18, we see here something wonderful. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Peter and Andrew. What were they doing? Something remarkable? Something amazing? Something that would be history making? No. They were fishing. It's pretty ordinary, isn't it? It's pretty unremarkable. It's just a scene of ordinary life in Galilee. You would have seen it up and down the Lake Galilee. You'd have seen fishermen all over the place. So I wonder why Jesus stopped for this pair. What was it he saw about them? I love this, because the truth is that Jesus saw them in their ordinary lives. Sometimes we think we've got to do something extraordinary to get noticed by God, and that God only loves people who do amazing things. Here's the thing. Jesus saw their ordinary life, and he called them to himself. Jesus wants us to see that our discipleship, our learning, our apprenticing of him, our training in righteousness, it's all rooted in the ordinary. It's not rooted in the extraordinary, the spectacular, or the glamorous. It's rooted in the ordinary things of life. These were fishermen. And Jesus wanted to call ordinary men, ordinary women. He calls us today as ordinary men and women, nothing world-shaking, but Jesus sees you and me, and he values the everyday. He values our discipleship rooted in the routines, rooted in our work, rooted in our family, rooted in our ordinary lives. That's where we're to work this out. And here's the other thing. We don't work it out alone. Jesus, Matthew 4 is not about how Jesus chooses one disciple. No. We're building up to 4. We're going to get to 12. We're going to get later on in the scriptures to 72. And it just keeps rippling out. The truth is that no one follows Jesus alone. There are no solitary disciples. None of us can do it by ourselves. I love it that Jesus wanted us to be in the everyday and in community as we do our discipleship. And I think that's really important and something to emphasize. So just briefly, there's a couple of things here I want to draw out from verse 19. So we see here how Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." And there's three brief things here. I'm going to take it I love it when the Bible gives you the points from the Bible, not from me making it up. So the first thing is this word "come." It's the first thing Jesus says, and it's the first thing I want us to notice. Come. We need to come to Christ. Before we go, we must come. A lot of people are busy for God, trying to go and do things for God, but are not those who come to God. Jesus said, come. And the first thing in discipleship is an invitation. And we need to be those who respond not just the one time to that invitation, but we continually come. I need to come every day. Sometimes I find myself, I came yesterday, but now my heart is way over here in selfishness. And I need to come back. I need to come to Christ daily, moment by moment. I need to keep coming to Christ. Come. Have we come? Have you come? Jesus said, come. It was personal. It was vulnerable. These men were going to become great friends. And Jesus wants to invite you into friendship with himself. But he says, come. It's that sense in which you might say, well, who, me? Me? You want me to come? You know, if ever you've been picked out of a crowd, you always do this, don't you? Someone says, you know, you always go. You never quite think it, well, me? You want me? This is this beautiful sense here that Jesus is saying to these men, Peter and his brother Andrew, and also later on we see James and John. And these men couldn't believe it, because they were not the normal candidates for discipleship. Normally a rabbi would have gone for someone of a bit more of a higher intellect, because they were supposed to memorize huge portions of the Bible, if not all of it. And these men would have been amazed. It was a personal invitation. Do you notice it was a costly invitation? Jesus was inviting them to give up their everything, their livelihood, and to follow him. And we'll come on to that again later. It wasn't an easy invitation, but it was deeply personal. It was costly. It was a vulnerable thing. But you see here, this is Jesus telling them, you're loved. You're loved. You're chosen. You didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chose you. He chose you before the foundation of the world, that we might belong to him. This is an invitation to intimacy. It's an invitation to know Jesus, be with Jesus as the first thing, rather than be busy for Jesus. So the question this morning is, do I come to Jesus? Have I come to Christ? And there are simple ways that we can come to Christ today. All by faith. We come to the Lord Jesus by faith and put our faith and trust in him. And how do we keep coming to him as disciples? Well, we pray. Prayer. Worship is coming to Christ. Reading the scriptures is coming to Christ. Belonging to a church and committing into your church family. That's how we do it together, like these men did. And so may we keep coming to Christ. I don't want people to come to church for church's sake. I want you to come to church for Christ's sake, that you may keep coming to Christ. That's the point. And so Jesus said, come. Then he said, follow me. What a challenge this is. And we may say to ourselves, am I following? If we're thinking about disciples making disciples, we want to be those ourselves with the place of integrity where we say, I'm following Jesus. Come with me. I'm in this. Evangelism is not just saying to people, you need to get to know Jesus. Something wrong with you? There's something wrong with you. You've sinned, you've fallen short of the glory of God, now you need to get to know God. No. Well, that's right, but the context of evangelism is, I am following Jesus. Come. Let's follow him together. We have sinned. Let's follow him together. I'm still following Jesus. I'm still coming to Christ. I'm still following him. I'm on that journey with him. Yes, there was a moment where I made the decision to belong to invite him into my life, but I'm on a lifelong following journey and adventure. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are we following him? Are we keeping his commandments? Do we know his commandments? Let me give you a few. In Luke 6, Jesus says, be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful. In John 13, Jesus said to his disciples, when he washed their feet, he said, go and do likewise. That's about sacrificially serving others. Are we doing that? In Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. In other words, pray. Pray. Are we those who pray in our discipleship? In Matthew 7, verse 1, Jesus says, do not judge. How are we doing on that one in terms of following Jesus? We're talking about following Jesus as disciples. If we're disciples, if we're learning, if we're apprenticing, we're going to be doing those things, or we're going to be seeking to do those things, making mistakes as we go, but learning from our mistakes. Do not judge. Matthew 5, very challenging verse. In Matthew 5, verse 34, love your enemies. How are we doing on that? Where is our following Jesus at on loving our enemies? And in Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So following Jesus is forgiving, it's loving, it's compassion, it's giving, it's about community. Following Jesus is all of these things. In Luke 14, there's a tremendous passage where Jesus talks about discipleship and the cost of being a disciple. And he says there, I haven't got time to read it all now, but he talks there about loving God even more than your family, taking up your cross and giving up everything for him. And he says, if you don't do those things, you cannot be my disciple. Just have a read of Luke chapter 14 once again, because Jesus speaks there about discipleship. This is the message. He says, come, follow me. It's powerful. Those two words, follow me, are perhaps the two most words full of the most dynamite in the whole of the Bible. Powerful. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It's totally different to being a church goer. Follow me is totally different. We're taking the standard from the word and we apply it to our lives. Never mind what the person next to you, how are we doing? And help those around us to follow Jesus. And the last thing, very quickly. So he said, come, follow me. And then Jesus says, I will send you out. That's quite remarkable, isn't it? He says, and I will send you out to fish for people. All are sent. All of us are missionaries. All of us are called to go and are called to take opportunities, whether at work, in retirement, in social clubs, in family life, with friendships, with neighbors. What would that look like for you? And for me today, where Jesus says, I will send you out. come, then go. And keep on this lovely cycle is that we're coming and going with Christ. That's how we work out our discipleship. You can't be a disciple who only comes to Christ. That's half of the equation, or a third of it. Then there's the following Jesus, and then there's the going with Jesus. He wants us to be with him so that he might send us out to be like him. People in our world today would love to hang out with Jesus because people loved doing that. But instead of Jesus, they've got you and me. And Jesus wants us to hang out with them just like he would. So that's why he says, I'm going to send you out. You do it. But do it with me. Keep coming to me. Keep following me. And keep going for me, with me. I think that's amazing. So this disciple, whole life disciple life of apprenticing is a remarkable life. It's an adventure. It's never done. We're always learning. We're always growing. We're always moving. A disciple is not perfect, but neither are they passive. A disciple is always seeking to be like the master. Lord, how can I be like the teacher more? How can I be like Jesus more? So I want to encourage you to look at Jesus and just follow him. Follow Jesus. Don't follow me. Don't follow the Archbishop of Canterbury. Don't follow anybody else. Follow Jesus. And if you're sticking close to him, you will not go wrong in your discipleship. And then when you see him one day face to face, you'll already know him very well. And he'll say, well done. Well done. My son, my daughter, my disciple, my apprentice, my child, come on in to your heavenly home. Amen.